Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This is the fourth Sunday of the Coptic month of Tuba, and because we celebrate the Feast of Epiphany during this month, the Sunday readings are all have something to do with baptism. And today our Mother the Church arranged for us the story of the man who was born blind. And this miracle is symbolic of baptism because of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ told him to go and to wash in the pool of Siloam. And after he took clay and he put it over his eyes. And those actions teach us actually a very important aspect of our faith. It's a fact that God has done everything for our salvation. However, His work requires our cooperation. For one thing, of course, it requires our belief. If we don't believe, then whatever God has done for us cannot be applied to us. So, in addition to this, we need to cooperate with God's work by believing and by being baptized. To believe is an inward obedience to the salvation of God, and to be baptized is an outward obedience of the Word of God. So the sign in the washing of the pool of Siloam signifies the washing of baptism in obedience to the Lord. Right? Our Lord Jesus Christ told the man, go and wash. Even though, of course, Christ is more than capable of healing him without him going to go wash. He tells him to go and wash, and after he's washed, he's healed. We might understand why it's important for us to believe in God, but maybe some of us don't really understand the importance of baptism. Actually, there are many Christian denominations that deny that baptism is even necessary at all. Some denominations believe in baptism, but maybe they don't believe in it in the way that the Orthodox Church teaches. We understand baptism to be a regeneration. We understand baptism to remove the stain of original sin. We understand baptism to infuse us and sanctify us with grace in our souls. Other denominations may say that baptism is just a sign that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, and therefore you're a Christian. It's the acceptance or the belief only that matters. But this is incorrect. Undergoing baptism doesn't just indicate that you are now a Christian. For them, even if you would not get baptized, you're a Christian regardless because of your profession of faith. This understanding actually leads to so many scriptural difficulties. Like if you read the Bible, if you say that baptism doesn't rise above anything except the symbolic, it's hard to sort of coincide those ideas with scripture. For example, St. Paul says to Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So how did our Lord Jesus Christ save us? By the washing of regeneration and the renewal in the Holy Spirit. This washing of regeneration is baptism. It actually does something to us. It regenerates, according to Scripture. The combination of water and the Holy Spirit reminds us of the Gospel of St. John, when our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to Nicodemus, and He says, unless one is born of water and Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we understand this combination to represent the water of baptism that brings the Holy Spirit. You know, right after people are baptized, that immediately we anoint them with the Holy Mairun in the sacrament of confirmation so that they can have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. If you look, for example, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, St. Peter, he is talking to people and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So pay attention to the sequence. First comes repentance and belief, then comes baptism, which affects or causes the forgiveness of sins, and then, as a consequence of that forgiveness and the baptism, comes the gift or the grace of the Holy Spirit. That verse only makes sense if we're understanding baptism as more than just a symbol. If baptism is just a command of God that I want to follow and not a mystery, why would St. Peter include it in his instructions? Actually, St. Paul supports the same thing when he's talking to the Corinthians. He says that you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. By wash, he's not talking about taking a bath. He's not talking about like Corinthian bathing practices or something like that. Actually, the verb, even in the Greek, is referring to baptism. Their baptism brings them into a state of sanctification and justification. Baptism changes them internally, spiritually, and it changes us internally and spiritually. Baptism is essential to our salvation, and salvation means the remission of our sins. In Hebrews, St. Paul says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Salvation is made available through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And how do we participate and share in this salvation? We share in the death and the resurrection of Christ. St. Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. So unless we undergo this death, I can't receive the salvation. So how do I share in the death of the Lord? And the answer is in my baptism. In the scripture, St. Paul again, he says, or do you not know that as many of you were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. So it's our death and burial with the Lord through baptism that saves us and makes us share in the glory of His resurrection, or is part of our salvation. St. Paul says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, which is baptism, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. So let's look at baptism in the context of the passage that we read this morning. If we say that being baptized can be compared to the washing in the pool of Siloam, our Lord Jesus Christ clearly commanded the blind man, go and wash in the pool. What if the blind man had argued with Christ? What if he said, you already put clay on my eyes. You already touched me with your healing hands. Why are you now telling me to go and wash in the pool? Why do I have to do this so that I can receive my sight? If the blind man had argued or had disobeyed Christ, he wouldn't have received his sight, because he wasn't then cooperating with God and obeying His word. But he obeyed the word of God, he went and washed, and the verse says, and he came back seeing. The clay, as some of you might know, signifies man being created by God. Our created man, which we were created out of dust according to the book of Genesis, created man became or has become like the old man. And the old man, like St. Paul teaches us, has been crucified with Christ. And in baptism, what do? We wash away this old man. So now the connection becomes a little bit clearer. Through baptism, the old man, our old nature dies, our sin is washed away, and we put on the new man, we put on the righteousness of Christ, and we are regenerated in the righteousness of Christ. So what does that have to do with us today? Most of us sitting here are baptized. Most of us already experienced this. So is the gospel passage this morning just reminding us to make sure we know we're supposed to be baptized? And so most of us who are baptized, okay, there's really not much for me to do. What's the implication for me? Those of us who have believed in Christ and who have entered into union with Him, daily we need to practice the washing away of our old man. Yes, of course, on the one hand, this dying of the old man and regeneration into a new creation is a one-time thing. We don't repeat our baptisms. But on the other hand, we have to admit that we have not always been obedient to practice the washing away of the earthly things that pertain to that old nature. As a result, we can still have like clay on our eyes. That's the reason many of us, sometimes we don't have a clear view of spiritual things and don't have proper insight or proper light. Sometimes people ask, how am I able to understand or benefit from the liturgy or my prayers in my home or reading scripture? People say, I read the same Bible as you do, but for some reason, I don't benefit anything or nothing changes in me. What's the reason for that? Part of the reason is it might be that the clay hasn't been washed away from your eyes. As long as the clay of the natural man remains on the eyes of the believer, you're going to be blind to spiritual things. All of that clay needs to be washed away. We can't hold on to our old man with our old nature and our old concepts and our fleshly lusts. The Beatitudes, it tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Do you have doubts in your ability to see God? Do you find yourself doing the right thing, praying, fasting, tithing, almsgiving, and still you don't feel like you have a close relationship with God? Still you feel like I can't feel His presence in my life. Or I feel like the life of a Christian is not good or is not for me. It's an opportunity actually for us to examine ourselves. Take guidance from our spiritual fathers. Maybe there's an impurity in my life that is preventing me from seeing God. What sin do I harbor in my life that puts a wall between me and God? I need to wash it away in the waters of repentance and confession, which is like a mini baptism. Actually, it's astonishing to me how many people have given up on the sacrament of repentance and confession. For some reason, we think of it as something like only maybe the children need. Something maybe that I need when I'm making a very big decision about my career or my spouse, I will go and speak to Abun. Or I have a crisis in my life that needs the immediate intervention of a priest. This is not true. All of us here in this room are in need of the sacrament of repentance and confession. All of us are in need of being rebuked. All of us are in need of hearing patiently and humbly and asking God and asking my spiritual father for help to grow. The sacrament of repentance and confession is a beautiful thing that not too many of us or not enough of us take seriously. In this sacrament, I can see most clearly and effectively the mercy of God. The sacrament of repentance and confession is a sacrament of healing, just like the blind man this morning. When I go to confession, why do I go? I go in order to be healed, to heal my soul, to heal my heart, to be healed of my sins. Each time I go to confession, God embraces me, rejoices with me, in the same way that He tells us about the parable of the lost sheep, going after the one lost sheep. Forgiveness of sins is not something I can just give myself. In confession, I ask forgiveness from Christ as represented by the priest. That's how I learn that forgiveness is not the fruit of my own efforts, but a gift from the Holy Spirit who fills us with mercy and with grace. It's not enough for me to just ask God for forgiveness in my own mind and in my own heart, because Christ Himself entrusted the church the ministry of the forgiveness of sins. The shame we feel, or the shame that we might feel in speaking our sins to another person, makes us humble. And when we unburden ourselves in front of God, we leave confession feeling free, feeling beautiful, being forgiven, feeling happy. That's the beauty of daily washing. I know that some might be reluctant to confess because maybe they have an issue with the priest, or maybe they find that they can't find a priest that they get along with. My advice would be to go. Christ is there. Christ is more benevolent, more merciful than any priest. When Christ receives you, He receives you with love, more love than any priest can give you. The sacrament of confession is the renewal of our baptism. It's like a second baptism that refers back to the first one and renews it. So even though you believed in the Lord and you entered union with Him in your baptism, you may still have the clay of the old man on your eyes. That's why I need to obey God. I need to go and wash in the pool of Siloam and wash away that old man. I need to wash the old man day by day in repentance. I need to wash away the old man in regular confession. I should practice the daily washing away of this old nature, or the things that pertain to the old nature. This is our obedience to what God has said. He has everything to us in a practical way, not just a theoretical way. He is truly the light of the world. He is truly the life-giving spirit. He is ready to mingle Himself with us. But if we keep the old man or the things pertaining to our old self, He will not. If we do not obey and walk and go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The word Siloam, by the way, like it explains in verse 7 means sent. So it's a commission for us. God tells him, go, wash in the pool. He's sending him on a mission. He's sending him to carry out a particular work, a particular purpose. So this sending is crucial. If the blind man was not willing to be sent, he would have been, like I said before, in complete darkness forever. So we are called to be sent. First, sent to the waters of baptism in order to be regenerated, and then regularly to be sent into the tears of repentance and confession. May God always give us the strength and the power and the perseverance to wash away our sins daily by the grace of His Holy Spirit. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.